everyone. My name is Dr. Nazia Selzner. I am a transplant hepatologist in multi-organ transplant program in Toronto, and I'm going to talk to you about some of the aspect medical issue related to the workup of the live donors today. So live donation has been initiated initially in Asia to alleviate some of the risk related to the lack of the disease organ. And due to the fact that there is still a long mortality on the waiting list for the liver transplantation, which can be as high as 25% in some countries, is now spread to the Western world. It is now reported that there is a 20% survival benefit when you receive the transplantation from a live donor compared to a deceased donor liver transplant. And this is true when we looked at the data or analyzed the data from the time a recipient is put on the waiting list for transplantation. When we talk about workup of a donor for live donation, there is always two important aspects to keep in mind. The first aspect, and by far the most important one, is the donor safety. Therefore, the workup of the donor, the process of workup of a donor, should not be rushed or compromised in any circumstances. And that's why it's very important to have two separate teams to work with donor and recipient, because often there may be a rush related to how sick a recipient is on the donor side. And therefore, if you have a two complete separate team, one working with the donor and one working with the recipient, there would be no compromise of such sort. In order to maintain the safety, it's very important to develop standard of practice protocols which allow you to really follow thoroughly and completely the workup of a donor, and also to have checklists to make sure that every step of this workup has been completed as you go along the assessment. The second important aspect in terms of the live donation is to understand and acknowledge that donation is a voluntary act, is completely altruism, and there should be therefore no pressure, no coercion, and no exchange of material of any sort at all. This is a voluntary decision, and it's based on informed consent. Once we have gone through this, we can say that every single individual between the age of 18 to 60 years of old who has a compatible blood group with the recipient and has otherwise no major medical concern, and by this we talk about psychological as well as social as well as medical issues, can actually be considered as a live donor. However, the decision in terms of proceeding, moving forward with the surgery, is in the hand of the medical and surgical team that oversees the workup of these donors. And if the team that oversees this workup feels that the risk of the donation outweighs the benefit of it, there would be no pursuing this option for that donor. In our program in Toronto, we have created a multi-step program for the workup of the donor. These assessment steps are overseen by the medical director of the live donor program, as well as a dedicated nurse coordinator to this workup. So these steps start with the screening questionnaire. We ask the donor to complete a detailed questionnaire regarding their health history, and we also ask them to perform their blood group at this screening level to see if they are a match blood type with the recipient or not. One issue that often raised at this level is when you don't have a compatible blood type. Obviously, in these cases, the donation cannot go forward. However, there is possibility to inform them about other type of options, such as paired exchange or incompatible, IBO-incompatible donation, etc. This type of consult can be done on separate occasion. The second step of our multi-steps workup is the initial visit, where a donor, a potential donor, meets the donor team doctor as well as the nurse coordinator. During this visit, we take a very thorough history and we perform a physical examination, and we do also the labs, routine labs, as well as some specialized labs such as serology testing. And we also perform a chest X-ray and an EKG. Another important issue that often raised at this level, medical issue, is when a donor has a high BMI or is overweight. Due to the increased rate of obesity worldwide, our donor population is also populated by a number of donors which have a high BMI or have evidence of fatty liver. Based on the fact that we know there are risks associated with the high BMI in terms of post-op complication, in our program, we don't accept or we don't proceed with live donation if a donor has a BMI above 30. In these cases, we do offer them consult for weight loss. And the option that we have adopted in Toronto and we pursue is using OptiFast. OptiFast is a meal replacement diet, low calorie, about 900 calorie, which has been proven to be safe for weight loss and rapid reduction of the weight in the bariatric literature. We also have reported our first experience using the OptiFast in a series of 47 potential donors who had all a BMI above 35. They underwent this diet for a period of 6 weeks, and they all decreased their BMI or have complete resolution of their fatty liver after 6 weeks of the diet. And some of them eventually move forward with live donation. So that's the measure that we have routinely now adopted in our program for weight loss when we see this issue raised at this stage of our assessment. The third step of our multi-step assessment is doing the diagnostic testing. This includes an MRI and a CT of the abdomen to look at the bile duct anatomy, to look at the vessels anatomy, and to measure the volumes. And we also do a 2D echo or a stress test if a donor is above the age of 50 or have an abnormal EKG. Again, the issue that we do see at this level is that when the imaging shows evidence of fatty liver, hepatic steatosis, we ask our radiologist to give us a quantification of the amount of fat. And if this hepatic steatosis is reported to be above 5%, once again, we ask them to go through the diet to lose weight. And ultimately, after the losing weight and finishing the diet, they will have a liver biopsy to confirm that there has been a complete resolution of fat before we proceed with the planned surgery. The fourth stage of our assessment is the specialized consult. That's also extremely important in terms of workup of the live donor. They all see an independent psychiatrist. They all see a social worker to make sure that they have enough social support, they have drug coverage, they have financial support for this surgery. We ask an opinion and consult by a complete separate medical internist from our program as a third-party opinion to make sure that all the aspect of health of the donor has been reviewed. And as I mentioned, that's the step where we would perform a liver biopsy if they have evidence of fatty liver on their imaging or they have abnormal liver tests to make sure that they don't have an underlying liver disease. And the most important part of this consult, one of the most important part, is the surgical consult. The surgical consult is a multi-step consult in our program for the workup of the donor. We ask, they see at least two different surgeons at two independent visits where they will be informed about the procedure, the steps of the procedure itself, the risks and the complication of this procedure. And following this multi-step surgical consult, then they will give the informed consent to go ahead or not with the surgery. Some of the aspects that are discussed with them are obviously the risk and the complication of live donation surgery. We never had any death in our program, but the risk of death is quoted to them. It's in the range of 0.2 to 0.3%, depending whether you are performing a left lobe hepatectomy or right lobe hepatectomy. Other risks are the possible postoperative complication, which have been reviewed in our series of 700 live donor performed in our program in Toronto. So we quoted this risk, the risk of postoperative bleeding requiring another laparotomy surgery in the range of 3%, the risk of bile leak, about 1.8 to 2%, requiring endoscopic intervention. The risk of abscess or intra-abdominal collection, which requires a radiologic intervention with tube insertion in the range of 3%. Risk of pulmonary embolism in the range of 2%. And the risk of post-operative hernia requiring surgical repair later on in the range of 2.2%. We tell them, the donors are informed that the length of hospitalization post-donation is about 5 to 7 days, and the surgery itself is about 4 to 6 hours in average, the length of the surgery itself. What is also important to mention as part of this surgical evaluation is that all the imaging which has been performed to assess anatomy, bile duct anatomy, vessels anatomy, volume assessment, etc., is reviewed at least two times, if it's not more, during our imaging committee review. We have a weekly imaging review for our live donor, and all the surgeons are present during that meeting, and they all review the imaging to assess, again, the anatomy, and also to look at the measure the graft volume and the residual volume and discuss this very carefully. So this review of the imaging is, as I alluded to, is happening once a week. And this is in addition to the report generated by the radiologist and the review that the radiologist has done for the imaging. Finally, we also, if there is any concern anywhere around this assessment period, we have a multidisciplinary meeting where there are representatives from the medical team, the surgical team, the nurse coordinator, psychiatrist, social worker, and even an ethicist, where we review again all the concern before having a consensus decision. The last step in our multi-steps assessment workout is the preparation for surgery. The donors will be educated about the surgery by the donor coordinator, and they will also see the anesthesia, preoperative anesthesia. There are a few more things in this stage that we recommend and we request from our donor. One is complete stopping of alcohol or any other illicit drug consumption at least 4 weeks prior to the live donation surgery. We also know that there are clotting risk associated with smoking and the birth control pill. Therefore, we ask all our donors to completely stop smoking, and for females to change from hormonal birth control pills to other alternative type of birth control for the time of the donation and post-surgery. That is about it.